Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Before we jump into this soulful episode, I want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by my accredited program, Ayurveda Alchemist. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda holistic health coach. Ayurveda Alchemist is for women who are ready to embark on an epic personal development journey, immersing themselves in the wisdom of Ayurveda, learning how to optimize their health and well-being by addressing all aspects of self, including their physical body, mental and emotional health, and spirituality, whilst wholeheartedly stepping into their dharma, their purpose. This program is also for women who would love to get started with a fulfilling career in Ayurveda, and for already established health, wellness, and life coaches who want to create greater impact by offering a holistic framework that gets their clients exceptional and holistic results. This certification is what you need to step into the high-level practitioner that you were born to be and stand out from the coaching crowd. You will experience undeniable growth personally and professionally. You will be mentored by highly qualified facilitators, guest experts, and practitioners. Spots are strictly limited. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the lives of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to www.harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the podcast, everybody, and a special warm welcome to all of our wonderful members in the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood Facebook group. If you're not in there already, please come and join us so we can carry these conversations on well after they have finished. And today is going to be a really popular episode. I've had a lot of requests for this, and I'm going to be talking about PMDD, PMS, and the mind-body connection with the lovely Hannah Studley. Hannah is... Hey, thanks so much for joining us. 7 o'clock in the morning where you're at, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's Jerusalem, yeah. Israel, so it's a little early. It's the evening here. But just to introduce you to this wonderful woman, she has been coaching and counseling people for over 30 years, surviving 3 violent muggings and recovering from severe PTSD in the 1980s. Hannah went on to have a very successful Academy Award-winning career in Hollywood. And then after graduating from the One Thought Institute in 2018, she has been leading the way in pioneering work with the 3 principles to the mind-body connection. Most recently, she's been working with people with long COVID and hormone distress. Hannah is a World Health Organization psychological first responder. She has a diploma in psychology and is a certified life coach. She's also a successful entrepreneur and author. Her first book, The Myth of Low Self-Esteem, is a novel about PTSD, Hollywood, and healing, and that came out in 2019. Her second book is The Painless, a novel about chronic pain and the mind-body connection, which was published in 2021. And her very latest book, Very Well, a novel about hormones, Woman and Why Food Was Wrong was released February this year. So you have been so busy by the sounds of it.
I know. I'm tired just listening. I'm like, God, did I do all that?
Did I do all that? I mean, like, one book is a big defeat. I've been thinking about a book for a while and it's just been in the thoughts. So yeah. And as I mentioned before we started recording, I'm really, really excited about this episode because PMDD and women's hormones is my specialty as an Ayurveda women's health practitioner. So I love speaking to other practitioners about this. It's just, can geek out on this all day. So I think it's going to be really, really fun. And yeah, a lot of good wisdom for all of the women out there as well. So to kick off the episode, I always start with my rapid inspiration question. So can you first surprise us? I usually say inspire us, but today surprise came out. Surprise us with what your superpower is.
Ooh, my superpower. That's a great question. My superpower is knowing that I can never be broken. And that no one else can get inside my head. It feels like they do sometimes, but I'm only ever feeling my thinking. So I'm feeling my thinking about you or whatever it is. And when you know that, that is freedom, because then you're not a victim of your circumstances anymore. So yeah, there you go.
Amazing. And I would love to dive into what you just said later as well, so we can get even deeper on that. And what is your favorite quote or mantra?
Oh, that's easy. My teacher, Sydney Banks, he's passed away now. I actually didn't meet him, but all my teachers met him. And his most famous quote is, if only people could learn not to be afraid of their own experience, that would change the world.
I love
that. And it's changed mine.
I love that. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. And who or what is inspiring you at the moment?
Oh, it's always my clients. Oh gosh, I just wanted to cry right then. The people I speak to are so inspiring. They're so brave because, you know, if your head is filled with anxiety or your body's filled with pain and you keep showing up and you keep searching, then, you know, that is inspiring to me. I don't know, I want to cry right now. But it's you know, we all have this incredible resilience. Nobody is any more resilient than anybody else. We all have it. It's our innate well-being. It's just sometimes we get caught up in our thinking and then we think that we're not well. We think that we're broken. But it's not true because it's just an illusion. And when I see people break through that illusion and be willing to show up despite what's going on with them, that is inspiring to me.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you. And mm-hmm. I would like to get into this episode, but first I really want to hear about how you went from working on big Hollywood movies to coaching women about hormone distress. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, you know, I used to wonder that myself sometimes because, the Hollywood thing was, I actually worked in special effects. My speciality was making copies of real animals. And I actually was in Australia for 6 months working on the movie Babe. I don't know if you remember the Talking Pig movie, right? So we shot that just outside Sydney. And so my speciality was making copies of real animals. So like, for example, in Babe, people say, there's no puppets in Babe. I go, does your dog talk? Right? No, and they say it's computers. I'm like, not in 1993, it wasn't. We made actual puppets, copies of the real animal, and it would cut from the real animal to my puppet, and you won't know the difference. So my whole career was about convincing you that things were real that weren't, like the fact that animals could talk, you know, or that Harry Potter can fly. Well, Harry Potter can fly, but Daniel Radcliffe can't, so we put him on roads and stuff. And so it's all an illusion. And our minds have a better special effects department than anything me or Steven Spielberg could come up with. So our minds are creating illusions all the time. So, and our body, like pain, for example, and hormone fluctuations are special effects produced by the mind. So that's how I see it goes together.
Amazing. First of all, like, I'm mind blown already speaking to like the Babe double maker. It's so awesome. I can't wait to tell my kids about that because they love that movie. So that's really cool. What an awesome career, but such a different one from what you're in now. Cause I know you've gone on and you've studied psychology and all of those things as well to get where you are. So specifically on PMDD, I would love to open that up. So for those listening who aren't familiar with the term, PMDD stands for premenstrual dysphoric disorder. So would you like to explain more about what it is exactly?
Yes. So PMDD is like the worst kind of premenstrual tension you could think of. A lot of the women I've spoken to are almost suicidal. They I'm not a big fan of the diagnosis, but to get the diagnosis, you'd have to identify those mood swings and terrible anxieties and depressions, and also physical stuff as well, that coincided with the monthly cycle. So that's what differentiates it from, for example, borderline personality disorder or general anxiety disorder or PTSD. It's, you can see the ups and downs of the mood swings are going with the ups and downs of your monthly cycle. That's what specifically makes it PMDD.
Yeah, and specifically in the luteal phase, from sort of ovulation to bleed and through bleed for some women as well. And I think just in the way that it differs from PMS, I sometimes refer to it as like PMS, but on steroids. And there's it's huge, isn't there? So you can still get all those physical signs and symptoms, obviously, with the bloating and the tender breasts and the migraines, but there's such a huge psychological component with PMDD, which I'd really love to dive in with you about. And the other thing to note with PMDD is there's not a true understanding of exactly the cause, but the thought behind it is the sensitivity or heightened sensitivity to the fluctuations in hormones. And later research is really suggesting that it's the progesterone. And usually for most of us, progesterone is a very calming sort of hormone. It can help with a lot of these wonderful things. But for women with PMDD, they've got that heightened sensitivity, it can cause a lot of emotional disturbances. So are there any other signs and symptoms you can think of in relationship to PMDD and how it differs from PMS?
I can't answer that question so much because I'm not a doctor and I never actually personally had PMDD, but I would love to get into what you just said about it because that's really the main core of my book, and the research that's in the middle of the book kind of goes a little bit further upstream than what we've just described. So yeah. I'd love to share that.
Yes. Okay. Yes, please.
Exactly. Right. So when I was researching, like my books are novels, I find that stories are a great way to capture people's attention. You know, like, you know, if you're tired and overwhelmed, do I want to read another textbook or another self-help book? So my story, so this one is about a woman who's going into perimenopause and menopause. But her two daughters, one has PMDD and one has postpartum depression. So between the three of them, they cover every hormonal distress that, you know, we often go through. So as I was researching this, I found this amazing video, which sadly has been taken off of YouTube. I'm desperately trying to get hold of the professor who gave this lecture. But her name is Dr. Susan Girdler, and she's a professor of reproductive mood disorders at North Carolina University. And she conducted research because, like you were saying, with the luteal phase and the follicular phase and all these things, like what is actually going on with us? So she decided to get two groups of women. One group had a diagnosis of PMDD. It was a large group. And the other group had what she called healthy, which I kind of find that a bit objectionable that, you know, to say that people are not, anyway, that's another conversation. Anyway, so she did hormone testing. Excuse me. So what I've learned is a blood test does not work for hormone testing. It's not reliable because a blood test only tells you what has happened the moment the needle went in your arm. You need to do a urine test. So, and you need to do it over a period of a few days. So she P-tested both groups of women. And now, before I tell you the results, if you'd asked me back in my teens and my 20s, you know, what was going on with me each month, I would have said something like, oh, my hormones are, you know, out of whack this month, or, you know, my hormones are driving crazy, or my hormones are, you know, just like, you know, malfunctioning somehow. I had this idea that there was something wrong with the malfunction, you know, of there was malfunctioning hormones. That's what I thought was happening. You know, why some women get it and some women don't, why it's worse some months and not others. So to go back to the research, she tested them and their hormone levels were pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. The women with PMDD and the women who she was calling healthy, women who didn't have a diagnosis. So being a good doctor, she got curious. Why was the group of women with PMDD reacting, having a different reaction, different experience with their hormone, their monthly cycle than the other women? So she surveyed them. Now, it wasn't 100%, but the large majority of the women with the PMDD diagnosis had a history of abuse, trauma, or some kind of prolonged stressful thinking and anxiety. And then in the lecture, she goes into how that can alter the way the brain processes everything. Because if you've gone through, child abuse or some kind of, violence or something in your childhood or your teens and early 20s, whilst the brain is still developing, then it's going to make us, I don't like to say overreactive because that doesn't sound kind. I'd say hyperreactive, like oversensitize us to all kinds of things. Like you mentioned, I was mugged 3 times in my 20s. So my nervous system got very alert to certain sounds, like the sounds of footsteps behind me. My nervous system would overreact for many years afterwards. Thank God it went away. So what she was pointing to was that if your nervous system is revved up like this, and then you have a regular monthly cycle, because it's normal to go up and down, our hormones fluctuate. That's why it's called a cycle, right? But to the women who are oversensitized, that drop in progesterone or estrogen, whatever's going on, is like a trauma. It's like another thing to deal with. Oh my gosh. And then from my understanding of experience and psychology and how experience is created, what I started seeing when I talked to women who were going through this is that, let's say they had a terrible time last month, and next month is coming. Right? It's not like a fight with your boss or your sister where you it might never happen again. Next month is coming. So women start anticipating this nightmare that's going to come, it's coming at you. And so they get tense and anxious. So they're already setting off the fight or flight response before they've even had the physical ups and downs of the cycle. And they're already revved up, waiting for this trauma to happen. And then so when it does, the natural fluctuation is happening, it's like they're on a roller coaster and, oh my gosh, I've got to deal with this again. We're hyperreacting. And then this just becomes a life. And some of the women I spoke to, they only have like 2 or 3 days in the middle of their cycle when they're not dealing with this huge, horrible onslaught of mental and emotional, reactions, as well as the physical stuff. And I can tell you, the women who've read my manuscript when I was writing this, their symptoms started to go away. Because when you understand what's happening, when you know what something's happening, it takes away so much of the fear and the anticipation, and they start to be able to ride the wave of normal fluctuations with a lot less anxiety and a lot more peace and dignity. So it's amazing what understanding can do, and insight is really powerful.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And that's exactly what I teach, like in my practice, is to become really self-aware. And that's what I think really helps you do, is to become really self-aware of yourself, your hormones, and the fluctuations. And I love how you said that, our hormones fluctuating is normal. We will feel some changes. Like, I think out there it's been sort of perceived that we should just have this sort of flatline effect all cycle, and if we have any little sort of up or down, we're not in balance. But it's absolutely not true. Like, I've said, I think in another episode actually, like, if you look at the graph of our hormones and where they peak and where they drop and all of the events that have to happen for a cycle to happen, it's up and down. It looks like a picture of a roller coaster. So we have to expect that we're going to feel some shifts in our mood, in our body, over that period of time. And the other really important thing to point out is, just as you had alluded to through this study, is that for a woman to have PMDD, they do not need to have a hormonal imbalance. Because it's a sensitivity to the fluctuation in normal hormones, normal fluctuations. It's not to say that someone with PMDD cannot also have a hormonal imbalance coinciding, because that can happen. And the other thing to note here is a lot of women believe a hormonal imbalance is estrogen versus progesterone. And as we get into perimenopause, we know that our progesterone drops, there's different fluctuations, bigger gaps. But a lot of the time, it's actually an imbalance between the stress hormones and the sex hormones. And that's exactly what you're talking about on this psychological level. If you've got this chronic stress, which causes chronic inflammation in the body, there's going to be heightened sensitivity and signs and symptoms. So 100% bringing all that back into a nice sort of little bundle. Agree with everything you said. And I know that you speak about your three principles of the mind-body connection, and I'd love to dive into that and how that applies to PMDD and PMS. And also, when researching your latest book, you say that you came across this research that proved we are always feeling our thinking, and this is what you also mentioned in the questions earlier on. So I'd love to also speak about that, like, what do you mean about feeling what you're thinking? I think I've thrown a lot out there, so let's talk.
No, it's brilliant, and I'm impressed that you got all that. I this is my favorite thing to talk about, so thank you. Yes, when, like, I've been, like I said, coaching people for 30 years, and I've done lots of different modalities and techniques and stuff, and I had chronic pain that whole time, and I was constantly going to the chiropractor. I had IBS, I had asthma, eczema, you name it, and I now know that they are all stress related. I didn't know that then, because when I go to doctors who were doing their best, they would say, oh, it's because of your injuries. It's because of your, you've got one leg longer than the other or something. You know, they would always give me a medical reason. And I go, okay, because I'm not a doctor. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, I came across this new paradigm in psychology called the three principles, which is put together by the Sydney Banks, who I quoted at the beginning. And basically what he was saying is that we are all innately well. We all have innate well-being, that you cannot be broken and you don't need fixing. And I'm like, but I spent my whole life trying to fix myself. I'm like, and then what we're pointing to is insights, a shift in thinking, because the only reason people don't think that they're well or they need fixing is because they've got caught up in their personal mind and personal thinking. So what Sid was pointing to was that thought is a spiritual energy. And I always start moving my hands around at this point because I don't know the words to describe spiritual energy, but it's some kind of formless, creative, loving, infinite energy that comes through our minds. And it's formless over here, but when it comes into my little mind, my little personal screen, if you like, it takes a form. And that form can be thinky thoughts, like do the laundry. No, I don't want to. But it can also take the form of sounds, like music. And like, if you, sometimes you can hear a tune in your head, there's no words, but it's just music. That's also the general gift of thought. It can be images. I'm picturing a beach right now. It's like, there's no words, but that's how we experience everything. And it can include sensations. So when I started working with people with physical issues, and by the way, my 25 years of pain went away when I started understanding this. And I think it went away because my thinking slowed down. When I started understanding how experience is created, the world became a lot less frightening place. Like when I was in Hollywood, I had so much insecurity and anxiety, making a mistake. What do people think of me? I got to do it right. Got to do it perfect. Can you see I start speeding up when I talk about that? So to slow down, when I started slowing down, my nervous system got the message I was safe. And so it didn't need to produce the pain anymore. And even my menopause symptoms went away. The hot flushes and the brain fog and all that stuff went away, as well as my back pain and my IBS and all that stuff, because my nervous system knew I was safe. So the fact that I'm feeling safer thinking is what created a safer place in my body. If, it's actually a very reliable system. If you're thinking miserable, anxious, grumpy, kind of thinking, you cannot be in a good mood. And the reverse is true. If you're thinking happy, abundant, joyful thinking, you can't be in a bad mood. And I used to be terrified of my moods. But I know now that my moods are actually a reflection of the quality of my thinking. They're like a barometer. They're actually very useful. So if I start feeling any kind of tenseness, heaviness, maybe even urgency, then I know that, like, if you think of moods like an elevator or a lift in a building going up and down, I know I've just jumped on the down, the going down to the basement. The basement would be my body screaming at me, like, you know, when I was having terrible pain or dizziness, tinnitus, or Americans call it tinnitus, you know, ringing in your ears, migraines, all these things are like the body's wisdom shouting at us to get our attention to slow down. But most of us innocently, and I stress innocently, don't understand the signals. And so we think there's something wrong with the body, and then we start getting more stressed about that. You can see it's a vicious cycle. But it can also go the other way. When you understand what's happening, when you understand that every thought you've ever had, whether it be a heartbreak, an anxiety, or even joyful things too, is constantly moving. Thought is an energy. And as Einstein told us, energy is always moving. It might morph into different forms, but it's always moving. So I've learned that even if I have a funky thought, or I have a, you know, could even have a crazy inappropriate thought, there's no need to get frightened by it, because it's going to move. And learn not to be frightened by, like you said, like a normal fluctuation in our hormones, or a hot flush, or a crazy insecure thought, like, you know, nobody likes me, I'm fat and I'm ugly. What? Shut up. Not listening, right? It's like, it's just moving through. We all have crazy thoughts. It doesn't mean you're crazy. So when I learned that I didn't have to listen to those thoughts, I felt safer. I became an observer of them. And I can tell you that they kind of really calmed down, that my thinking is pretty sane and calm these days, so much so that when I do get a wacky thought, I can see it. And it's so ridiculous, I don't need to listen to it. So my health is so much improved because my mental state is so much better. I mean, that's the way I see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're so on the same page. And just to reiterate what you said, basically, is I take this five-dimensional approach to health, and I do that through my higher self methodology. And the second pillar is called empowering belief shifts through Ayurvedic psychology. And that's because we can't heal from a disempowered state. And that's the way that, you know, our thought patterns are, and understanding that subconscious patterning. Because if we're, like you said, afraid of our emotions, afraid of the menstrual cycle coming and the hormone shifting, then that's going to create fear based in our mind and body. But also understanding where that comes from, what that trigger is, and how we can respond to that trigger as opposed to react and then become absorbed in that reaction. So I think, yeah, it definitely takes a really holistic approach, and having that understanding of the psychological and mental component of PMDD is huge in being able to break through the barrier of really healing and trusting yourself. Through my, so I go through the higher self methodology in my 90-day hormone solution program. And the first one is health of self, and self meaning the whole complete self. So looking at our physical symptoms, and we might do functional lab tests, and we might do like herbal medicine and all of those to treat physical body and physical symptoms, but we're looking at the emotional, the mental, the spiritual, and even that connection to that self-awareness. And as I mentioned, the second pillar is the empowering belief shifts. And then the third pillar is actually dharmic impact through purpose-driven changes, and how we're really connecting to ourself and our purpose, and the different changes we can make in our life through our lifestyle, our diet, all of those things, to be able to give us a really holistic approach to healing, especially with hormonal health. Because as we've alluded to, the stress, the underlying trauma, is such a huge, huge component, and it's often overlooked. We just think, oh, we're bloated, oh, we're moody, like we've got all these physical symptoms. I'm getting migraines, it's the histamine, it's the, you know, the hormone fluctuations. It's deeper than that. It goes beyond that. Absolutely. And so what do you say to people that are, or women in particular, that are worried that they've been given this PMDD diagnosis and that's it? Like, they think they're going to be having these symptoms all of the time.
Yeah. So my opinion, and it's purely my opinion based on 30 something years of talking to people, is that labels and diagnoses are really a construct. They may describe how you were on that day. It's not who you are. One of my teachers is a psychologist. She says, it's like, imagine your worst hair day You've just gotten over the flu. You've got a pimple on the end of your nose. Someone at work got a promotion whilst you were out sick. And someone took a picture of you and said, okay, this is going to be your ID photo for the rest of your life. And you're like, no, that was just how I was on that day. So yes, it may have described how we are sometimes, or even like a few days of the month, but it's not who you are. And so the women I've worked with so far, when they started to understand how experience is created and how thought is always moving and thought is neutral until we have that reaction to it, when you understand something, when you get an insight, a shift in your thinking, then the, like I said, the nervous system calms down. And I've seen it. I've got some testimonials on my website from women who had a diagnosis of PMDD, and she was even going into perimenopause. So it was like coming at it from all directions, and her symptoms have pretty much gone away. And we didn't do anything. That's the amazing thing. Like, that's why I say, like, you can't be broken, because we're actually this formless energy. Like you were saying, like before thought, before form, we're this, and you can't break formless. Right? You cannot break a formless thing. Like you can't break a cloud. We can only feel broken when we're caught up in the illusion. So when they saw through the illusions of their thinking, the special effects that was creating, then they saw that there was actually nothing to fix, therefore nothing to do other than understanding. And then when you understand, like I loved how you were describing it, when we're at a higher level of consciousness, you're naturally going to eat better, sleep better, take care of yourself. Your natural innate wisdom is going to be there for you. It's always there. And we can tap into it more when we're in a better state of mind, you know, less contaminated by all that stinky thinking. And then they just naturally flourish, because in our best mind, that's who we really are. We are wellness when we're not caught up in all the stinky thinking. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important to note that, like, any thought that we think has a subtle impression on our body, because our mind and our body are so intricately connected, we can't separate the two. It's just like if you feel in your body, then you think a thought in your mind. So if you're feeling like pain, you know, it registers in your mind that you've got pain. But any thought that you think also has a reaction in the body. And in Ayurveda, we talk about an accumulation of armor, which can be physical toxins, but also mental and emotional armor. And that can keep us really locked up. And it goes again to what you said about emotional energy. Like, emotions are energy in motion, but they can become a little bit stuck if we don't have ways of expressing and freeing them. So there's so many ways to address our health that's just not on that physical surface level. I'm curious with the way you address the psychology of hormones, PMDD, PMS. Do you have a certain process with your counseling, coaching?
Not really, because I say everybody's slightly different, and I the way I understand how, you know, the psychology and the way experience is created, I work with people with all kinds of chronic pain, like I said, like back pain and stomach issues and migraines, and I also work with people in business, or work with people in, you know, dealing with angry teenagers, or, you know, because when you understand how the mind works, we take this mind with us everywhere into everything. So the basic principles that I'm sharing with people are amazing, because the woman who recovered from PMDD by reading my book, she messaged me the other day saying she's getting on so much better with her husband. Right? We didn't say anything about her husband. We didn't talk about relationships at all. But because she's now in a better state of mind, her relationship with her husband is better. She has her own business. She's an artist. So she's selling more paintings now because she's more available. She's more in the moment. So I have a 10-hour program that I do with people. And in the first session, we will go over some of the, you know, physical pain research. Like, one of my favorite pain researchers is an Australian pain researcher called Lorimer Moseley. I don't know if you know that name, but one of the first things I heard him say was, we only experience pain when it comes into consciousness, which is kind of like what you were just saying. You know, it's like we're experiencing everything through our thinking. So I explain how the mind, body, and the pain, you know, all that goes together, including the hormone stuff. And then pretty much the rest of the time, we're having a discussion about these three principles, which, if in case anybody's curious, it's mind, thought, and consciousness. thought being this creative energy, I've spoken a lot, consciousness is our moods going up and down. A mind was Sid Banks's way of saying the source of everything, the wisdom of the universe. Everybody has different words for that, whether you call it God or higher power or infinite wisdom, Allah, Buddha, it really doesn't matter what we call it. The fact that there's an initial source of wisdom that we're all experiencing and we're all blessed by. And I find that's why so many people have anxiety, and particularly health anxiety, is because we're trusting on our finite selves. And you know, when I have to put willpower into a, you know, to make, you know, do exercise and do that diet and, you know, make it, force it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm flaky. Sooner or later, I'm going to get tired. Sooner or later, it's going to be too cold to go to the gym, or, you know, but what we're pointing at is insight. We're going further upstream and saying, can you see how it works? Can you see this true to be true for you? And when people see it to, like, see it to be true, that insight is far more powerful than any willpower thing that I can put together. And it's more longer lasting. And so most of my sessions are conversations like this, where we're talking backwards and forwards and having a, like, transformational conversation. And sometimes I see people's faces go, oh my gosh, I just realized I've been torturing myself with my own thinking. Or they just suddenly realize that was, they've been carrying around a story in their head since their childhood that was just very heavy. And you just see their faces change. It's incredible. Sometimes people get a session, the insight while they're driving home, or, you know, later on in the market or something, you know, and those shifts accumulate. And then, my gosh, then, you know, the monthly cycle goes, or a fight with the husband or the boss, and they don't react like they used to. I love how you said they respond. We stop reacting and we start responding, and you're responding from wisdom, that innate wisdom that's always there. So most of my work is conversational. And, you know, I have lots of resources and videos for, you know, people to see if they're interested, but I find that transformational conversation is far more powerful than do this, don't do that, you know, because we flake and we give up, and insight is gonna, you know, last much longer.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Insight is the most powerful transformation that you can have, and that's what I've found with my clients. That's why I've added in, like, the Ayurvedic psychology components to my health plans, is because that's where a lot of the realization comes, where you get to have those deeper conversations, and it's like, wow, mind blowing. Like, it isn't, yes. You know, the perspective is so different now. And yeah, it's wonderful. And I, you know, like see past clients in, you know, out and about in the streets and stuff. And it's so amazing to see them still doing so, so well. Like, they're like, I'm doing amazing. And it's because they've had those empowered belief shifts and they've been able to carry that on, despite all of the other things that they're doing. So yeah, I think it's such a huge part to healing, is really that psychological healing. So thank you so much for sharing all that wisdom. It's so, yeah, so, so valuable. I did have some questions from the Facebook community, and it was more about natural ways to deal with PMDD symptoms. And I know you have spoken in length about the psychology point of view, the mental health transformations with that, and being able to create that more consciousness and awareness so we can step into our power, into our higher self, even with a diagnosis or not of PMDD or those sort of symptoms. So that's definitely one way, is really addressing the mindset, the thoughts, creating and cultivating more of that self-awareness. But I will just mention a few other natural ways to deal with PMDD symptoms, just because it has been a question to ask. So there are different like herbal medicines and supplements that can be really supportive for the body. There's one called SAMe, which helps to break down brain chemicals such as serotonin, melatonin, and dopamine. So that's proven to be quite effective with women with PMDD. It also works with vitamin B12 and folate. So if you're deficient in either of those, it may reduce the same levels in your body. So we have natural levels of this in our body. And so if we're low in vitamin B12 and folate, then we may need a supplement with that. Magnesium, it again really helps to regulate the central nervous system. If you've got heightened stress going on, we absorb and we soak up all of our magnesium stores, and magnesium is such a beautiful supplement to help with hormonal health and PMDD. There's also Vitex, which is supports ovarian function and the communication pathways between our hypothalamus and our brain and our ovaries. And then there's the Ayurvedic adaptogenic herbs such as ashwagandha, brahmi, and shatavari that help with the cortisol level. So we're talking a lot about stress. So with our stress response, we can have cortisol and adrenaline response. And these are adaptogenic herbs that help to bring our body back into a homeostatic balance, meaning it brings our body, yeah, basically back into a more balanced state and will adapt to the cortisol that is being released in the body. I think, and you would probably agree with me here, Hannah, but like sleep is so, so important for women with hormonal imbalances, PMDD, or anything along those lines. Like sleep is so important. It is where we get a lot of our healthy, happy hormones functioning and coming throughout the night. And then just from like an Ayurvedic perspective, PMDD is also related to an imbalance of the doshas, of the three fundamental energies that govern the mind and the body. Women with PMDD, they'll benefit from dosha-specific treatments that address the underlying imbalances. And that's what I target all of that in the Higher Self Method. So looking from the physical right down to the spiritual and the empowered belief shifts. So they're just some sort of other natural ways to address PMDD. Do you have anything to add to that, Hannah?
I loved what you were saying about magnesium. When I was going through perimenopause, which is a similar, you know, fluctuation of hormones that, you know, you're not used to. I remember a nutritionist saying to me to take magnesium for mood swings. I was like, okay. So I started, and then I noticed in her group, someone else said, you know, they couldn't sleep well. So she said, oh, take magnesium. So I messaged her and I said, how can magnesium like give you energy and clarity during the day, but that also help with sleep at night? That like seemed like two opposite things. And she went, well, that's the amazing ability of magnesium, right? Like it's such a, like a wonder supplement, you know, so I highly recommend the magnesium. And the other thing that I was recommended was vitamin B complex, you know, that really helped me a lot. And my friend who recommended it, she said to take a liquid form because it goes into the body much easier than a pill. So those are the only two that I tried and I found them really helpful. And then I actually had a blood test for something else recently. And my doctor said, are you taking vitamin B? And I said, yeah. He said, stop it. You've got plenty. So you know, it's like, it balanced out and now I'm fine. So it's, you know, I really believe the body has its own innate wisdom and it lets us know what we need if we're able to slow down enough to listen. And in fact, I made a little meme once and it said, if you can hear your body whisper, you won't have to listen to it scream.
100%.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And just on the supplement front as well, like it is, this is just general education. Never just go out and like try a handful of different supplements because there are certain herbs, they're very medicinal, but taken wrongly can be really contraindicated. And I know that St. John's wort is one of those ones that a lot of women take for mood disorders and PMDD. But if you have been prescribed an SSRI, which is an antidepressant, anti-anxiety for PMDD, which is quite a common medical treatment, and that is because of the chemical imbalance with serotonin that you have, if you're taking that, St. John's wort can interact with that. So it's really, really important to talk to a practitioner, not just, yeah, gobble down all these different supplements. This is like purely for education and because it was raised in the Facebook community. So I did want to address that. But yeah, thank you so much, Hannah. You have been such a delight. You've shared so much beautiful wisdom and insight. I feel like we're definitely on the same page. I just love having conversations with people like you. I'd love to hear more about your books. So the latest book in particular, but yeah, give us a little rant about all of the books and where we can find them.
Sure. So the first one is called The Myth of Low Self-Esteem. And that was, I thought was going to be my only book. So I threw all my good stories in there. So there's this, it is a novel. I have like an alter ego. She's called Deborah. So it starts with her childhood and the anxieties in her childhood, goes through the traumas I went through with the muggings and the injuries. It goes a little bit through my Hollywood career and then finding these three principles and these ideas and how my PTSD symptoms went away. Then the second one is called Painless, and it focuses on chronic pain. And by chronic pain, that includes all kinds of physical issues, not just, you know, your regular back pain. And it kind of starts in Australia, because that's where I was filming Babe, and it kind of picks up from there. And it is fiction. I'd say about, you know, 50% of it is true, in that the examples that I use with the different physical issues are coming from actual clients I've worked with. So I put them together in a fictional clinic, and there's some there's lots of drama, and there's some romance, and a happy ending. And then the more recent one that just came out like 2 weeks ago, this one's called Very Well. The subtitle is A Novel About Hormones, Women, and Why Freud Was Wrong. And if you're curious, this on the front, the cover, this lady is Bertha Pappenheim. She was, that's her real name. Her pseudonym was Anna O. She was one of Freud's first clients. And Freud claimed to cure her of hysteria, which is absolutely not true. There's lots of facts now to show that she ended up in a sanitarium in Switzerland, addicted to morphine after he abandoned her. And she went on to become a social worker, and she built orphanages. She traveled around from Russia to New York to Jerusalem, helping women who had been, forced into prostitution, orphans. She got them homes and jobs. She did such amazing stuff. Like, just when the war was breaking out in Germany, she took a bunch of children from Nazi Germany to Glasgow in Scotland at the age of 70. She was interrogated by the Gestapo, and she stood up and like, nobody's heard of her, you know? So I kind of put her story in between all the other stuff, the drama that's going on. So this one is set in Los Angeles, and it got to Amazon number one bestseller. In the Freud section, thank you to Amazon's algorithms for that. I'll take that little win. Why not? So this one just came out just a couple of weeks ago, and in February. So that one, one of the main characters has PMDD, and her symptoms start to go away when she understands, you know, she sees that she has innate well-being, and that her understanding of what's actually happening reduces the fear and stress in her life. And then the mother and daughter go on to help a lot of other women with all kinds of other hormonal situations. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun writing these books, and I get so much, so amazing feeling when women write to me and tell me that it's helping them and their symptoms are going away and it's improving their relationships and their lives and, you know, bringing joy back into their lives once, you know, they return to their good health. So yeah, it's a real honor and privilege to write these books. And they're all on Amazon. So you can either look by the titles or by my name, Hannah Studley, you'll find them on Amazon. Mm-hmm.
And Hannah is spelt with a C-H, so just for those people, yes. H-A-N-A, Studley. Book sounds so amazing, and I love how you've made it into a novel, like a story. It is so much more intriguing. You get a little bit over just reading the sort of same textbooks and or text styles book, like information books. So I think it sounds so amazing, like, well done. I think, yeah. It's going to be amazing. I'm so glad that it hit number one for you.
Yeah.
And for anyone who is listening, if you love the type of work that me and Hannah do, like helping women with their health, please reach out, because I offer an Ayurveda holistic health certification program. So you can become a holistic health coach. And we dive into, obviously, Ayurveda and all the Vedic wisdom, innate wisdom, similar to what Hannah was talking about, but also a lot of women's health aspects as well. So yeah, if you are interested in either a career change or even up-leveling your career as a health and wellness professional already, it is an amazing, amazing program. So please reach out and we can chat more about that. But thank you so much for coming on board here and having a wonderful chat with us. It's been so insightful. I love the work you do, love the books, and I hope everyone listening goes and gets themselves a copy and learn more about themselves and the way that our hormones interact with our mental health and our emotional health and how emotional mental health reacts with our hormones. It's just all part of being woman, and it's all part of being able to understand ourselves on that deeper, deeper level so we can really step into our higher self in all areas of our lives. So thank you so much. Namaste.
My pleasure. Thank you.
If you missed the intro and jumped straight to the episode, don't forget that my Ayurveda Alchemist program is open for enrollment via application. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda lifestyle and wellness coach and will help you uplevel your health and wellness business. You'll gain access to the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda and graduate with a knowledge of how to incorporate this timeless wisdom and holistic framework into your business so that you can create greater impact and boldly step into the high-level practitioner you know you can be. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the life of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health. Or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.